We are discussing the Pratha Smarana Stotram.
Yesterday we did the first verse, Pratha Smarami Hridi Samspurat Atmatatvam Sachit Sukham Paramahamsa Gatim Turiyam Yat Swapna Jagara Sushupta Mavaiti Nityam Tad Brahma Nishkalam Aham Nacha Bhuta Sangha. This first verse tells us what I am. Can we describe it? We try to describe it. Description, the very word description means it is separating one object from the other object. Description is possible when there are two objects. This is small, this is big, this is white, this is blue, and this is here, this is there, etc. If there were only to be light, we can never describe what it is. This is the truth. From another angle, any one of our experiences are really indescribable. A simple example, you have eaten a nice sweet. Can you describe it to another person who had not eaten it?
No.
Simple thing. You cannot do it. You know, we have, even though we call many things sweet, there are hundreds of varieties of sweets. For example, here is Rasagulla, here is Rasamalai. How do you distinguish? Because there must be some difference between these two. So, supposing a person has eaten Rasagulla, can you describe to him exactly what is Rasamalai? We take it for granted we can describe it. That's because it is likely that most of us had eaten. But once we have eaten, the experience remains in memory and we can convey it. In our day-to-day practical life, we think we are able to convey the meaning. That's because we are able to, we have experienced. Now, how do you describe deep sleep? Because even we cannot describe it to ourselves also. That's why he says, I did not know anything is not a description. If I myself do not recollect what it is like, I have no memory. Excepting saying, I did not know anything, I have no memory. Dreams you can remember, waking you can remember, not deep sleep. But you remember it in the sense that you had an experience. But at the same time, you cannot describe. But when I ask, did you have good sleep? You say, yes, I had good sleep. You understand exactly what I am talking about because you had that experience. So what is the point? If we are to categorize anything, then it must fall into certain category. These categories, like, you know, jati, guna, kriya, sambandha. Jati means species. Supposing somebody phones to you from Australia or from the Mars, curiosity. There is a mission now. Now supposing it says, here is a piece of rock. You recognize, you know, it sends photograph. You recognize. Why? Because there is a rock. Suppose there is an object there which is not existing on earth. You won't be able to recognize it at all. So to recognize, it must fall into some species. it might be a rock, means mountain, small, big. It might be a plant. You may not know exactly what that plant is. You know that it is a plant. You know it is an insect. You know it is an animal. You know it is a human being. This is called species. So, that is one. Then guna. This is a fast horse. This is a fast car. Jogger. Fast horse. This is a blue car. You know blueness. This is called guna. This is a good man. This is a loving man, etc. This is called guna. Guna means quality. Then kriya. Kriya means activity. Who is this? This is a driver. Who is this? This is an officer. This is a doctor. This is a lawyer. This is a cook. Like that, some things you can classify. Then sambandha means relationship. Who is this? This is my father. This is my brother. This is my co-religionist. This is my colleague. See, sambandha means relationship. So, can you describe Brahman is part of one species? Can you say that he has any special quality? Can you say what action is the Brahman cooking? Or driving the car? Can you say what relationship Brahman has with any? This is my uncle, this is my grandson. When it doesn't fall under any of these categories, how are you going to describe it? Because we know things only when it is categorized. Brahman, say here, this man is coming, action. This man is going. Because where is Brahman? You see that coming? That is Brahman. But that is there. Funnily, it is there. You know, one doctor used to come to Thousand Island Park. Old man. Swami was in a highest mood. He used to give talks. And he patiently listens for 1.5 hours, 2 hours, 3 hours. You know, Swamiji's no watch is there, stop and stop. Goes sometimes, depending on the mood. So after all the talks is over, so Swami, it all comes to this, that I am Brahman. Every single talk at the end he will exclaim. From that time onwards, whenever the man was entering into the classroom, here comes Brahman. This is fun. Brahman, you cannot pinpoint out Brahman. Similarly, you can never pinpoint out I. We can always pinpoint you as an object. But as a subject, we can never pinpoint I until we connect it to something. I am an Indian and I am a doctor. I am the grandfather of or grandson of Manmohan Singh, things like that. But about Brahman, there is no specific. That is why yesterday we said Sarvanama, Tat, pronoun. No qualification. It covers everything. So that is why the Brahman can never be described. And therefore, the scriptures go on describing it with the words not this, etc. So this is the more or less essence. But if it is indescribable, what good will it do? How is it going to help us? He says, even though it is indescribable, the words, the descriptions, the feelings are made possible only because of that. If that were to withdraw, then it will, nothing can function in this. It doesn't even exist. Nothing can exist. Now, we also discussed the word exist, pure existence and manifestation of existence. Pure knowledge and manifestation of knowledge. Pure bliss and manifestation of bliss in patches. That is what we call sukha and dukkha. So it is possible because sat is there. Existence is possible. This carpet, this body, this mind, this chair, everything is possible only because there is something which is existing. So what is this chair? A very limited manifestation of the real sat. This is such a difficult concept. In the Bhagavad Gita, as Shankara devotes a huge chunk of commentary on this particular Nasato, second chapter, I think, I don't remember, 15th or 16th verse. The non-existence has no existence, the existence has no non-existence. Nasato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sataha. In this commentary, I will not go into the commentary, but the point is, it is that out of which all these manifested things are recognized. Why do we say recognized? Is interesting. This chair is existing. Yes, doesn't it? Now, is there something called the chair here? Is there an object called chair here? According to Advaita Vedanta, no. But why do we perceive it then as a chair? Because you have eyes, so there is a form, there is a color. Because you have ears, there is a sound. Because you have a nose, there is a smell. Because you have tongue, there is a taste. If you doubt, lick, then you will get the taste. And if you, since you have got, what is that, organ of touch, therefore you can touch it, this is hard, this is soft, this is cold, this is hot, etc. Suppose you don't have any of these sense organs, you will see this chair, still you will see, but in a different way. A blind man experiences it, not sees. A blind man experiences it in one way. A deaf man experiences it in another way. A man without smell experiences it in another way, etc. Suppose there are all the five sense organs are absent. Can the chair be experienced? The mind, you see, if the sense organs are absent, who is going to feed the mind with information?
The instruments are absent.
Yeah. Suppose your camera shutter is on. You take any number of pictures. What comes there? Nothing comes. It's like that. It's our body is like a camera with five different lenses. That's all. Our mind is like a video recorder with five channels. But the video recorder is useless unless these channels are open for recording. The information has to go. She is singing. But if there is no recorder, her voice will not be recorded. You see the point? Here is the question we put forward. What is that? If there are no five senses, would that person recognize that there is a chair? In fact, it doesn't recognize the whole world itself. It is not possible. So what is the point I am making through this verse Shankaracharya himself is making is that the an object called the chair doesn't exist. All that exists is pure existence. But pure existence viewed through the five sense organs appears to be a particular object. Now, interesting question is, we all have got more or less 5 sense organs. Why I say, because some of us are a little deaf, different degrees. Some of us are having, you know, Divya Chakshu, divine eyes. You remove that, then our perception is changed, different degrees. Now, why I am saying this? That if we do not have these sense organs, then there is something, but we have no. Then what do you feel? There is only one thing you feel. If there is no 5 sense organs, what do you feel? Because you are there. What do you feel? I am. There is nothing else but I am. You cannot add a single bit to that. But the moment it comes through the sense organs, immediately you say, I see a chair, I see this, I see that, I see everything. Now, let me take you to another very beautiful example. You know, in a cinema theater, a screen is there, projector is there, and when the projector is switched on, what do you see?
Light on the screen.
Only light. Then the film starts moving in front of the light. The light is interrupted, not interrupted, interpreted. Interpreted by the film. And that interpretation is what we see on the screen. Say there is a man and a tree. You see both. A man under a tree, or sometimes it could be on the tree. Now, why do you see? It is light is the same. So what is the difference between the tree and the man? That's not my point. My point is, different shades of light form different shades, that is what you create. So what, do you understand that point? On the screen, why do we see so many objects? It is all nothing but light. But light, it is, you know, here is one light, here is here, there. Before the film came, where is the light?
Everywhere.
Now also it is everywhere, but in different degrees. Here is more black, here is more white, etc., etc. And everywhere there is a particular shape. In this shape it is a man, in this shape it is a tree, etc., etc. So if you understand that analogy, what is this analogy for? He said, existence is only one. I said, all our 5 sense organs are 5 sense organs. Then why do we see all these different objects? Because the filtering through the sense organs. It is the very nature. What does the eye do? It not only, the function of the eye really is only color. Nothing else. Only color. Why? Because, you know, even a blind man, if he feels a circle, he feels it is round. If he feels a square, he knows it is square. Yeah. If he feels. But there are some logicians among you, I know that. And you say, hey, you take the blind man to the screen and let him feel. No, it is not possible. If it is an object is there, why I am telling, we are under the impression that it is the eye's speciality is also to perceive the form. No, the eye's speciality is only color. Form can be felt even by a blind person, by touch. Yeah. Of course, smell, taste and touch, sound, all these things are impossible. Each sense organ has an exclusive copyright for one particular type of information.
But can have the other sense organs little bit part of it also, like
Every sense organ has only one specific function.
The form, the eyes do see the form also.
Yes, yes. But it is not the specific because it is shared also by the touch.
Yeah.
Touch it is there. So it is the, but the touch cannot understand the colors.
That is why
I said color is the exclusive special property of the eye. So every sensor, all these five informations go into the mind and the mind interprets it, unifies it, harmonizes it and interprets it. This is such and such an object. Now, you know?
Maharaj, so if the sense organ touch is not there, then if we see the light, then the depth and all we cannot find, right, Maharaj?
No.
It's because of our experience before, now if there is some deepness there, I'm feeling it as deepness.
Yeah. Otherwise you will not feel. Yeah, that is why, you know, when you look at the sky, and how deep is it? Above it is too deep. But a little bit distance, you will see it, the earth and the sky are meeting together. It gives a deception.
Mm.
You know, why only that? You know, when you are driving your car, if you look through your mirror, it gives a deception. The eye, it is only through experience, you know, and not because your eye is not giving correct. Every time, it gives only wrong information.
Okay, that is true.
Yeah.
And partial information.
That is why, you know, is how skillful Arjuna must have been to be looking at the mirror in the water and then hitting the fish which is moving. My God.
So it is possible, Maharaj.
What?
It is possible to have the correct depth perception.
No. It is possible to have perception of depth, but not the correct information. The correctness is more guessed than really seen. It is more guessed. You guess how far is this car behind you. Because you also see that the gap between your car and the other car. Yeah, you know how small it appears according to the gap. The eye coordinates all that. My point is this. So one existence, why do we see so many infinite varieties? So infinite varieties is all play of light, all these five sense organs. Now, what is the real point? The real point is no object exists really. It is all, it is only because of the five sense organs. But even more important point is, we are under the terrible misnomer. There is an external world. There is something, but it is not world. It is not world. What is it then? It is pure Brahman. That's why we call it prapancha. Pancha means five. So, the impression comes into our mind. We are like people who are having a TV called mind, and all these five windows, cameras, are pumping in the information, streaming information constantly from outside. And that information, there is a machine which coordinates, and then it flashes on the TV or screen called mind. And we are sitting in front of it and feeling as though there is an outside world. What is really outside? Nobody. I am not talking about philosophy. I am talking about pure psychology. This is what psychologists always know. There is something. To say that there is nothing, even to imagine something, you need something to imagine.
Knowledge or something.
There is something to imagine. So anyway, what is the point I'm trying to tell? All that exists is pure Brahman. First point. Second, we see so many different things because of the five sense organs. Third point, that if we have to describe something, then it is the description is more by saying what it is not than rather what it is. But if a person has the similar experience, then we just convey. Have you seen that red flower? Yes, 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 it's beautiful, isn't it? Yes, it's beautiful. Now even this, I can go for hours together. Yes, yes, it is beautiful. What do you mean by beautiful? What do you mean by beautiful? What does the other fellow mean by beautiful? So much of variation is there. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful cow. This is the classical example we give. Two fellows are sitting. A cow was passing. Both of them involuntarily exclaimed, "Beautiful cow." One was an artist, one was a shoemaker. What do they mean by beautiful cow? Another was a milkman. So, what three people, same word, but beautiful because it fulfills their ambition. Say the fellow who is exclaiming, the shoemaker, means I am going to get a lot of skin. The artist, really is a very beautiful, proportionate cow. The milkman, I can get lot of milk from it. Like this, etc., etc. This we use the same words, but by different words. When a husband says, my wife is beautiful, he means one thing. But when the child says, my mom is very beautiful, he means an entirely different thing. All lollipops and then everything is coming in his mind. Okay, what is the point we are making? That all this variety we see, that is because our sense organs interrupt and interpret these experiences. Really speaking, are they existing? Are they existing? If I ask you, on the TV, we see so many things. A sport is seen. Do they really exist? What exists? Only a picture exists. Information exists. The object doesn't exist. Don't tell me, yes, yes, they have taken picture of something that is going on. I am not referring to that. As I know, it is only the picture that is happening. Interesting. If I go a little bit deep, you really feel confused. I can just, you know, you are telling this is all imagination. I can walk to that fellow and then give a big slap. And then I know what is going to happen to my cheek. Do you mean to say that that is an imagination? Yes, that is an imagination, pure imagination. Because in the dream also, you can feel exactly the same thing. See how much we are deceived. Yeah, you can get shock, you can touch. Of all the things, one of the things that gives us the illusion of reality is touch. I am touching, I struck my head against it and it got bumped. It bumps also, it gets bumped also in dream also. Yeah. It could be purely illusion. Hypnotism can do that. If somebody is hypnotized, you put one huge needle into that fellow, he doesn't feel anything at all. Or you touch a feather and say, this is red hot iron, after hypnotizing, his whole skin will burst. Yeah. Examples, live examples. Swami Vivekananda, he said, these are delusions. You know, people, he was in North India, you remember? I think in the powers of the mind, he talks about that he was wandering and some people were walking on red hot fire. Not only that, they heated one axe, iron part of the axe, and putting it all over their bodies. He thought, how can they do that? Let me do it. Very gingerly, he touched the edge of the axe. For 3 days, the burning sensation continued. How could they do that? The power of the mind. That's why he says powers of the mind. Yeah, all these sensations are purely through the sense organs and imagination. There is nothing. It is hard because we have been accustomed. When you see a TV, you know that it's a picture. But it doesn't stop you jumping up and down. Oh, my party, my club lost. So all we do like that. Anyway, what is the point we are telling? We are describing everything, pure existence, pure manifestation of pure existence, manifestation of pure knowledge and manifestation of. So what does that mean? Manifestation means? Partial revelation. What is partial revelation? What does it mean? The point I am trying to convey to you know, here is a rope. Imagine 1 meter long rope. I cut a small piece before you come and I show it to you. Then I ask you, how long is this cut piece? You say it is 4 inches or 8 inches, whatever. Here you are actually seeing an object which is only 8 inches. But imagine that rope 1 meter length. I cover it and then only that 8 inches, 10 inches, I do not cover it. Then what do you see? Do you see the point?
Yeah.
Here I didn't cut it into pieces. What is the difference between the illustration before? I actually cut it. Whereas in the next illustration, I merely covered and revealed only a small part. So is Brahman like the first example or like the second example?
Second example.
That is the point. So Brahman cannot be described. It cannot be described because description means partial revelation. And anything that is partially revealed cannot be Brahman. It is an object. Then there are only 2 things in this world. What 2 things? Subject and object. You remove the subject. Object. Remove the object. Then what remains?
Nothing.
No, it is not nothing.
Brahman.
Indescribable something remains. Because even to say this is subject is in relationship with the
object.
There is something. Because if there is nothing, the question of subject, object also doesn't arise. Out of nothing, nothing can be produced. There is something. That's why when in the Bible it says God created this world out of nothing. Out of nothing, nothing can come. What it means is He Himself manifested. So anyway, this is Advaitic view. That is why we say it is Vivartavada. Appearance, the theory of seeming appearance. Whereas Dvaitins, what they say, actually God has become this whole universe. Parinamavada. But it makes no difference in real psychological point of view. Whatever name you give to it, we all know this much. What is it? Whatever through our 5 sense organs is giving information to the mind and how it coordinates this information. That is here no dualism, no non-dualism. This is our real experience. What is the point of this whole introduction? In the second verse of Pratasmarami, it says that the truth can never be described. It is indescribable. And I said, why is it indescribable? Because anything that is describable must be separated. At least there must be two to describe something. Why do you want description? If there is only one book, you tell the person, go and bring the, fetch the book. You know, which book? Will he ask which book?
No.
He will never ask. So if there is only a train between 2 stations, it goes from A to B, B to A. You don't ask, you simply say, give me a ticket. You don't ask, he doesn't ask you, and ticket to where? Yeah. On two occasions, they don't ask you, they will give you ticket. One occasion is if there is a train between two points. Another occasion when you park your car where you are not supposed to. Yeah. So description means limitation. That which is not limited, it cannot be described. And yet the point is, without the existence of that pure existence, nothing else can come. If the sense organs must have something to take in. If there were to be no light, then no amount of film will work. So that is the idea given in this. I worship that supreme reality which is indescribable, but which is the support of all descriptions, every description. So the scriptures, Vedas, scriptures means Vedas, go on. What is that reality? In neti neti, na iti na iti, na Telugu nei. Yemadi neti thodu cheyabadindi. Neti neti. That is the support, you know. Sri Ramakrishna's life was. One day he said, today I will reveal all secrets to you. What happens when the Kundalini reaches the Sahasrara? You know that he has been describing. And he could describe until here. Says the reality is like a lamp burning, but there is a thin glass case. What happens? Then he goes into Samadhi. And then he can't describe. Then he says that, my children, I would very much like to describe it to you, but my mother is preventing me. And Sharadaranji was giving such a, what is this useless woman? This good man wants to tell us, and she is unnecessarily standing in between and preventing him from describing. He said, at that time did we understand that he was trying to make the impossible possible. That which is indescribable, he is trying to describe. How can he describe? It is not possible. This is the essence of what the second verse, he says. Pratar bhajami manasa vachasa magamyam. Prataha, at dawn or morning or with a fresh mind, bhajami, I worship, manasa, by mind, vachasa, what? Agamya. It is not possible to think. Every day we are also doing that. Namo namo prabhu vakya mana atita. And he says, mano vachana eka adhar. He is the support of both the mind and speech. Is exact verse. Mano vachana ekadha. Manasa vachasa magamyam. Vacho vibhanti yadanugrahena. Vacho vibhanti. How does the words come out? How does the mind function? All these descriptions, how are they possible? Only by its grace. Grace means by its very presence. If there is light, then there is, you can see the shadow is seen only when there is light. Without the light, neither shadow is seen nor light is seen. In neti neti vachanai nigamaha avochuhu. Avochuhu means described. Nigamaha means Vedas. How did they describe? Not this. Not this, not this. Na iti, na iti, nigamaha avoch. Yat, na iti, nigamaha avochuhu. Vedas.
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 Maharaj, there is also Agama.
Agama also, Nigama also, these are different words.
Oh, it's the same.
It is the same. Amnaya is another word.
Amnaya.
Yeah. Vedas have got many names. Yeah. It's Tara Tarani Nama. Agama Nigama Veda Brahma Vakanata. That is it. Nigama Achyutam Deva Devam. Ajam Achyutam Ahuhu Agriyam. That indescribable something, which is described by the words of not this means the description of that is indescribable.
Yeah.
Indescribability is its description. That means do not
attempt
even to do that. But there is something, you exist because of that. Your mind functions because of that. Your words function because of that. Tam Deva Devam. These words is, we use Deva Deva. Deva Deva means he is the God of gods. Ajam, unborn, is another word. If something is born, then you can describe. If it is, at least you can say it is born. Yeah. Achyutam. Deva Devam Ajam Achyutam means, Chuta means to change, to fall from its status. Achyuta means it never falls. It is one of the epithets of Lord Vishnu. He is called Keshava Govinda Achyuta Narayana, all these Achyutam Narayanam Ramanarayanam Achyutam Keshavam Ramanarayanam, like that song goes. Achyuta means infallible. But Vaishnava, Vishnu Sahasranama is commented by a great soul, Parashara Bhatta. That is the best commentary. And he gives a peculiar interpretation. Achyuta means, you see, once a devotee says, "Oh Lord, I belong to you." Thereafter, you know, he will never give him up. Yeah. It is just like somebody described it in a funny way. You see, it is just like falling into a drug baron's hands. Once you fall into that fellow's hands, you are not going to get released. Like that, this drug baron, once a fellow has, by mistake, has to say, "Oh Lord, I belong to you." After that, he takes it very seriously. After that, he will never allow you to get out of his grace. Always he will be with 1,000 eyes, he will be following you. Yeah, Sahasraksha. Both, it works both ways. Like a mother with 1,000 eyes protecting the baby. Like that, with 1,000 eyes, this Lord Narayana protects his devotees. That is the meaning given by Parashara Bhatta. Achyutam. Ahuhu means great souls said about this. Agriyam. Agriyam means that which is the first. It's agraja we call it. So first means here, not born. First here means that which simply remains there. That is with. And when did it start? You cannot say. Adi antahina akhande bilin mayai dhurile manobokai. Boleche. Said. Ahuhu means those, some people say. Said. Who? Sages. What did they say? Deva Devam. He is the origin of the Devas. Ajam. He is unborn, he is Achyutam, Agriyam Ahuhu. That is what it means. Why this description? Beautiful.
Yeah.
That you said that he cannot be described. Yeah. Now if you cannot describe something, it is almost as though it is non-existent. as though that doesn't exist. That is the only thing. How will you describe something? If there is something, you have to describe. If you say it is indescribable, that means that doesn't exist. That doubt may come. That is why he says, no, the sages tell us that it is Deva Deva. Ajam, it is unborn. Achyutam, it never falls from that. That is why it is called unborn. Born means it has fallen. The clay has given birth to a pot. That means it has fallen. Now you don't call it clay. You call it a pot. You call it a table. You call it a necklace. That word always intrigues me, necklace. Necklace is worn round the neck. Why is it called necklace? Can you understand? Yeah. Of language. Yeah. So, this is the one. Pratat bhajami manasa vachasamagamyam vacho vibhanti nikhila yadanugrahena yenneti neti vachanaihi negamaha avocho tam deva devam ajam achyutam ahuhu agriyam. This is the second verse. What is the first verse? The whole thing is nothing but Brahman. Pratah smarami hridi. Constantly it is telling, I. And Baba, tell a little more about it. No, he can't tell anything about it. It is indescribable. But you have to worship. Because you worship only that. If you worship anything else, you are worshipping less. Your worship is always less. Because you are worshipping the small part, but you are not worshipping the real infinity. That is why there is one hymn called Parapuja, supposed to have been written by Vedavyasa. And therein he says, O Lord, please forgive me for three faults, three sins I have committed. What is it? So even though you are everywhere, I have gone on a pilgrimage. That means what? As though God is only there. God is everywhere. Then why should you go to Tirupati and other places? That is. Then even though you are beyond what is called beyond the speech, I have hymned you with stotras. I praised you with stotras. Even though I know you cannot be praise. How do I praise you? You are not praiseable. It is for our purpose to pray to God. And then what is the third crime? Even though you are beyond mind, I try to meditate upon you. Meditation means that you try to put him in some ideas. He is like this, he is light and he is compassionate and all those things. Sri Ramakrishna blasts that idea, God is compassionate. Who said God is compassionate? To some Sikh devotees. Then they said, is God not compassionate? He said, I am not telling in that way. You see, he created you. And if he is looking after you, what credit is there? It is his responsibility. In fact, if he doesn't look after you, he is a very ungrateful fellow. He is not doing his duties properly. That is why some of us make fun of God. He neglects his duties. Suddenly somebody goes and complains, you fellow, you are always on leave and not doing your duties properly. Suddenly he says, he feels guilty. Then he comes down as an avatara, tries to do a little bit of duties and then escape very quickly. He says, I will come again and at that time I will liberate the whole lot. He has been giving this promise ever since creation. Pratar namami tamasah paramarkavarnam Purnam sanatana padam purushottamakhyam Esminidam jagadasesham asesham urtav rajvam bhujanga vaiva pratibhasitam vai. This is the last sloka. That he says, we need some help, some pointer. And he says, pratar namami, I salute. Who do I, whom? Tamasaha param arkavarnam. Is beyond, tamasaha means darkness. Beyond darkness and of the brilliance of the sun. Means he is of the nature of light. Pure light. Munero opare kotha kunodesh shashi tapanero nahi paravesh. Beyond the mind. And yet there is no sun, there is no moon, there is now no light. But there is no need. Because you are the light. Why do we need light? This is a very wonderful concept. Perhaps we will come back to that. He says, tamasa paramarkavarna. Purnam. Purnam means infinite, perfect. That's why there is no desire. Sanatana padam. It is an eternal, eternity is its abode. It is eternal. Eternal means changeless. Changeless means infinite. What is changeless? Infinity. Infinity. What is its name? Some name you have to give. Purushottamakhyam. Dvavimau purushau. Ksharaschakshara ksharasarvani bhutani. Kutasto akshara uchyate. Atu vasmi loke vedecha prathitaha. Purushottamaha. See, 15th chapter.
Yes,
who composed this? Shankaracharya. He commented on this entire Gita. He says, Purushottamakhyam. Purnam sanatana padam Purushottamakhyam. Esmin idam jagat asesham asesham-murtav. In whom this our experienced universe, the universe we experience, it is asesha, means numberless, countless forms, murtav.
Universe is countless.
You see how many objects? Mm-hmm. You count the number of bacteria. Can you count?
No.
There are foolish people who want to count.
Asesha murtav.
Mullah Nasruddin is a very wise man, character created. There was a foolish king. One day the foolish king, after dinner, he went up to the roof and he was staring at the sky. And he saw this brilliant, you know, in Arabia, you can see like jewels, innumerable stars and all those things. So he had got, how many could be there, he was wondering. So next day morning, when the court assembled, He called everybody and said, I want to know how many stars are there in the sky. If you don't tell me, I am going to cut off your head. They never allowed Mullah Nasruddin to come into the court. Now they had no option. But they ran to him, fell at his feet and said, Mullah, you have to save our necks. Yeah, otherwise we will all get necklace. Then he said, okay, I will be coming shortly, I will give the answer to the king. He came with his donkey. And then the Nawab, he asked, what is the answer? How many stars are there in the sky? He said, we don't know, but Mullah Nasruddin knows everything. And he asked Mullah Nasruddin, do you know? Yes, I know. How many? He said, as many hairs are there on my donkey. So many stars. How do you know? The Nawab challenged. He said, that is correct, I know. If you have any doubt, you can count. Then the Nawab rewarded him and let him go, because he knew. So, how many objects endless objects. It is not infinite. It is not countable. There is a difference between countless, numberless and infinity. It is, for us it is not possible to find out how many dust particles are there, how many sand particles are there, how many sugar particles are there. Who is going to count? So it is not possible. So he says, tamas poor, what is that? Rajivam bhujangamayava, but all these innumerable things, asesha murtav, rajivam bhujangama iva pratibhasitam, this universe with these countless, those with forms, those without forms, etc., means manifested, non-manifested, etc., it is all false. It is all false means limited, not false. False doesn't mean false. False means limited. And so this, again and again I am bringing this subject. It is not asatya, it is mithya. Asatya means non-existing. Mithya means it is, because you see, suppose you are moving, there is this one, you know, you see there is a huge plant is there, very long plant, or a compound wall, 1 mile. You are going by a car. Each time your car is moving, how much do you see? A little bit of that compound wall. Now, every time you are seeing something new, it is the same compound wall. But you describe compound wall, there it is black color, here it is green color, here it is yellow color. Every time you try to give a description, by the time you are changing, you are giving a different description. That is what is happening. You describe this child, oh, he is a baby. And after 2 years you describe, he is a young boy, adolescent boy, youth, and middle aged, and old age. Shadvikara we call it. So descriptions are limitations, but they are not unreal. But if you want to describe the whole thing without, then you will have to say it is Brahman. That is the meaning of mithya, means partial description, changing this kala. Desha and kala. You know, this compound wall is a good example. Desha means here at this space, the wall is like this. But what is happening? Your car is moving from this part of the space to this part of the space at a particular speed. Time has passed. 1 second has passed from this place to this place. And so one second means before 1 second you are here, after 1 second you are here. And so the description also changes. That is called mithya. If you can see the whole lot from one spot, it won't change. But that is not possible in this world. Not only that, it is something wonderful. At the same time, desha kala, time and space are two sides of the same thing. If you know time, you know the space. If you know the space, you know the time. If you know less space, you know less time. If you know more space, if you can see more space, then you will see more time. That is why the what is called present becomes future when a person can see more space.
Yes.
Yes. You know, an ant is moving here. See, how much can it see? Yeah, that much is its present time. It doesn't know beyond what is that. Just imagine, instead of this one, our imaginations are very poor. Imagine an ant is walking towards that harmonium. The harmonium is an obstruction to it. It can't see beyond that, isn't it? Just like you can't see beyond the compound wall, It can't see beyond. It's a huge compound wall for it. So its present time is very limited because of the space. But we can see that after that there is a burning pit, and if it reaches that place, it is going to die. So I can see its future. My favorite example is, you know, a thief is running on the ground. You know? So he can't, even if police are chasing him. So they can only see a little bit. So the future is unknown to them. Do you see? It's beyond, there is a compound wall, there is a road, and after the road what comes, nobody knows. Neither the police know nor the thief knows. But the fellows who are chasing him from the helicopter, they could see a long distance. They say he is going to enter into, they will instruct. And they say, two cars, you station yourself. He had no option, either he turns to the left or turns to the right. Then he will be caught there. So this future that he will be reaching there after a few seconds, is that future tense to the people there or present tense? Yeah, in fact, it is a past tense for them.
Yeah.
In their guesswork, it is a past tense for them. But for this fellow, it is a future tense. Yeah. That is why for Sri Ramakrishna, he could see much better. Yeah, he could see where this fellow is running, where we are running. And says, you know, this fellow is not behaving properly. He doesn't know at the end of this road, this hellish hotel is open to him. He is going to fall straight into that. Our heavenly door, let us be positive. Heavenly door is going to be opened there. But they are capable of seeing the future because they study the seeds, vasanas. Patanjali Yoga Sutra, in the third Vibhutipada, he says, how are people able to predict the future? Because, you know marigold seed, you are gardeners, and you know also as banyan or mango tree, and so you plant at the same time marigold seed and mango seed or apple seed. So you know more or less how much time it will take for the marigold to sprout and give flowers and finish also. And you know how long will it take for the mango seed. Now I predict the marigold is going to come up day after tomorrow. An ignorant fellow's eyes will pop up. Is it telling the truth? So after 2 days he will look. Already the seed, my God, he is God. He knows the future. This is like that, he will have reverence. That is how one Westerner escaped from this boiling pot. This one Westerner went to South Africa. He was caught by this cannibal. They were putting him, they put already water and they put him also. And going, water was heating up. Then he wanted to escape. Do you know? I am one of the gods. They asked, who do you know? How do we know? He said, I command the sun. Then he will disappear. And I will command the sun. Then he will reappear. So they said, do it. We want to see it. Then he said, you disappear. And slowly the sun started disappearing. And these fellows got, a fellow who got so much command over the sun, you should not meddle with him at all. What he is going to do? Then he started praying. Then he started, went on scolding for 1.5 hours. And after 1.5, all right, I will be gracious. Okay, sun, come out. The eclipse is over. and he was made practically the king of that country, and the tribal leader fell at his feet and what not and all that.
Maharaj, once Alfred Hitchcock was interviewed by TV person, reporter or something, and they said, you are one of the best directors in the world and you are one of the best cameraman. So, could you please describe us your feeling when you stand behind the camera? And they were waiting for the great answer. He said, it's very boring for me. Boring? No, you're one of the best cameramen in the world. He said, it's boring. He said, yes. Because what I want to see through camera, I have visualized many, many times before.
Yeah.
So I know already.
Yeah. So, if you know the seed, then you know the future. That means what? These great yogis know the samskaras. Ramakrishna could see the samskara. You know, he went to visit Vidyasagar.
Mm-hmm.
He saw a boy. Oh, mother, this boy belongs to your avidya realm. He says, then and there. Nobody asked him to comment. He simply went and commented. Unwarranted commentary is given. He knew, instinctively he knew. How does he know? Because they know the samskaras. How do they know the samskaras? They can know in many ways. One way is through yogic power. Another way is by the study of the physiognomy. He has given graphic descriptions of worldly people and all that in his great master. So like that, we do not know. That is why we do not know what is the nature of a person. But they know by the formation of the body, and because the mind and the body are not that distinct. Our thoughts form our body. Even today, it is said of Louis the 14th French, his wife Mary, she became, when she came to know that she was going to be beheaded, it said within overnight her black, jet black hair became white because of worry. This is the effect of the mind on the physical body. We all do that, you know, anxiety and stress, all these things have got. But precisely our bodies are formatted by our thoughts. That is why a sensual person, how does the body itself becomes very sensual. Some people, everybody is not the same. Some people are more sensual than others. So how does this man born sensual? Because of his past life thoughts. I want to enjoy the world in this particular way. And then his that intense desire. Good example would be, a person has tremendous desire to become a musician. He goes on practicing. Next life, he must have heard some nice people. And those people are his models. If I could sing like Sandhya Mukherjee, like that, you know, you will have a desire, if only I could sing, then I will be the undisputed singing queen of Sia. Not only Sia, the whole USA. It will be like that. I also have desire. If I could sing like SP, how nice it will be. You know, we all have that desire. Who doesn't have? Now, we are not envying them. We are desiring, why not we also have it? So how did he get it? Do you think it just accidentally it happened? Don't you feel that I should have voice like Nivedita? See, no dispute here. But what you really mean, not exactly like that. Hers and mine combined together. Yeah. So we all have desires. That is what is called admiration, you can say admiration. We are fans of so and so, and like that we all have this. Some devotees have this other idea also, devotees. If they see one person shedding tears, I wish I could shed more number of tears. I'm not telling. In Thakur's life it is said, all these devotees were practicing secretly. Swami found out and gave him good, you eat nutritious food, you fellows.
How can you practice, Maharaj?
Yes, yes, it's very easy. Anyway, read.
Yeah, I know.
You are denying then Sri Ramakrishna's words. Yeah. It is possible. You go on, you know, pretend. First day tears will not come.
We're like movie actresses or movie actors.
Wow. Yes. We all pretend.
Wow.
You know, it is very easy. That's why if you practice that kind of thing, next time when you don't want to shed tears, you have lost control, it will come. Danger is, both sides is there. Yeah. So anyway, our bodies are formed by our past samskaras. There is not much difference is there. So if someone wants to be spiritual, then they have to cultivate spiritual thoughts. Then they become spiritual samskaras. Then the body also becomes fit for spiritual. What happens? They will not have that much desire for enjoying the world. And then they have special formation, so they can, their, Sri Ramakrishna's description, the yogi's buttocks. And the backbone will be very straight. And all that description he has given. I know a Paramahamsa, by looking at his body, Sri Ramakrishna used to say. So also he knows worldly person, when he looks at a worldly person. So, what are we talking about?
Thoughts.
Thoughts.
Yeah.
Desires.
Very important. So, we will have to, we can think of God also in that way, that we can or salute Him. Pratar namami tamasaha paramarkavarnam. And meditate on the light, divine light. What is that light? Light is knowledge. It is the knowledge which combines sat and ananda. That's why it is in the middle. I am existing is a knowledge. If you are not aware, I am existing. If I am not aware, I am existing, then I do not know. I may exist. But if I don't know, for myself, I do not exist. And happiness is even more important. I may have the best of things, but I will not be happy until I know I am happy. Let's say I give a lot of examples. You may experience something completely false. But if you think in your mind, I am experiencing the real thing, then you will be very happy. Like that, you know, Kichika went and embraced Bhimasena. He thought he was embracing Draupadi. How that's why love is called blind. How can this Draupadi, small Kuchika lady, and this fellow is hefty, and even if he puts veil on, nobody can mistake. So he went and embraced, but for few seconds, he was perfectly happy. Why? Because he knows, I am happy. So that is the important thing for us. If I can develop that by thinking of God, I am a happy person, then we don't need anything. That is called spiritual life. You don't need body medium. You don't need mind medium. This is the most important thing. You can derive the highest happiness devoid of body and mind. That is called spiritual life. So that is why Pratar Namami Tamasaha Param Arkavarnam Purnam Sanata. Purnam. Purnam means what? I will not desire anything. Because It is perfect. I have nothing more. Oh, this is all right, but if something else is added, it will be better. No. That is end. My mind will not think because my mind is totally filled. This wonderful phenomena. When an object doesn't fill our mind, there is an emptiness. And the mind wants that emptiness to be filled. And it says, if this has a little more, you know, you are eating something, it's quite nice. But if only a little bit salt is added, it would be better. If a little something is added, it will be still more nice. Is there any end? You add that. Still your mind will go on. Because the emptiness is not in the object. The emptiness is in the
mind.
But here, this person's mind is absolutely full, purnam, sanatana padam, means it, this never changes again. Once you have that experience, it will be there for eternity. This is the nature of knowledge. What is this nature of knowledge? Yesterday also we discussed that our knowledge of an object can go on changing. More knowledge, still more knowledge, still more knowledge, still more knowledge. A time will come when you have 100% knowledge. When we have 100% knowledge, after that, it doesn't change. That is the perfect. After that, it won't change. The nature of our knowledge will never be sublated afterwards. That is why it is called satya. Satya means truth. You know what is the definition of truth?
It never changes.
Yeah.
Cannot be changed.
The nature of truth, it will never be sublated. Trikala abhaditam satyam. That is the Sanskrit definition.
No.
Trikala abhaditam. In the past, you have this knowledge.
What does sublated mean?
Sublated means it updated. It is replaced with a better understanding. That's why Swamiji says, man never travels from falsehood to truth. Always travel because it is something marvelous statement. Falsehood means there is nothing there. And then he starts traveling. No, there is something. You already have knowledge. You have at least knowledge of a snake. That is a good example. Yes, what do you see? I see a snake. That is not false knowledge. That is some knowledge. Very partial knowledge. Then you bring a little more light. Then you see, no, it doesn't move and it is not hissing. It is lying there. First you think it may be dead snake. Even that is a very great relief. Yeah. Then you bring more light. No, it is a rope. It looks like that. Then afterwards, you have no fear. After that, you don't change. Day and night, you don't change. So sublation means that you have a new knowledge replaces the old knowledge. That is called sublation. Trikala abhaditam. You reach a time, you reach a knowledge, then afterwards, any amount of time can pass, that knowledge will not change at all. That is called satyam. Until we reach that state, it is not satyam. This is the idea. Sanatana padam. That is the meaning of sanatana padam. Purushottamakhyam. It comprises both the kshara and akshara. Ismin idam jagat. Prativasitam vai. It appears. How? Rajvam bhujangam eva. Tam deva devam ajam achyutam ahu agriyam. What do I do? Pratar namami. I salute. What is that salute? Salutation? Salutation is not the real meaning. Namami means what? Namaha karomi. I am not there. I am thinking I am seeing you. I am thinking I have knowledge of you. No. There is only one. How many subjects? Only one. How many kshetrajnas?
One.
Only one. This is the Ratha Namami Stotram, composed by great Shankaracharya, and especially sannyasins, they chant this to remind themselves of the highest truth. This is the most wonderful thing. So we have to also think of the Divine Lord in that way. It is true. Can you describe Mother Kali? How do you describe Mother Kali or Ganesha or Anjaneya or Subramanya? Any goddess you take, they are very soon you will go. You see, dualistic language, paradoxical language, negative language. Niranjana, Nararupadhar. Nirguna, Gunamaya. See, Namo Namo Prabhu, Vakyamanatita. Manovachanaikadha. Jyotira Jyoti. Ujjvala Hridikandara. Tumi Tama Purushottamakhyam. Tamasa Paramarkavarnam Purnam Sanatam. Jyotira Jyoti. Ujjvala Hridikandara. It is the same concept, but in different words Swamiji had put. Why same words? Because it is the same cow. What else can they do? It is the same cow. There are no two cows. This is, but it is most cherished stotra. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.